We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Monday. Another beautiful day across the entire state. It's NBA and Bucks tip-off week. Gotta love it. So we're going to hoop it up today with Dave Spano. Always great to start the week with Dave. Really good tone. Love his insights, analysis, local, national, business and money issues. We're going to talk a little entrepreneurship as well, because it's the 15th anniversary of Shark Tank, and we're going to review it and see, like, how has the economy changed in those 15 years of looking at what entrepreneurs want and need? How does the economy grow? We'll focus on that later in the show. Ooh, a Monday market focus, marketing focus. We'll look at the how and why we buy with Greg Marshall. Greg is the chief storyteller at CI Design. We're going to preview holiday marketing. We're going to look at loyalty in buying habits. Specifically, is it different for those 55 and up? And we're going to look at the Airbnb brand from both the national and local levels. But first, it's Monday every day. We got to do it. We got to go to up.
Now it's time for the 2 up on the Upswing.
All right, you can't talk money without talking calculators. You have a calculator on your iPhone, right? Everyone loves it. It's simple. It's usually right there on the home screen. You pull down from the right corner, an easy swipe. It has those wonderful orange buttons on the side, right? Division, multiplication, subtraction, addition, equals. All this technology in our phones, but the calculator is still that one old school standby. Gives us the math we need at the grocery store or the tips at the restaurant, whatever it is. But they took the C button away. They took the clear button away. The latest upgrade to the operating system, the next operating system for Apple, is iOS 18. The calculator's C button, that clear input, it's gone. It's cleared. You usually have the C and the AC. Like, that is something that I just always want with my calculator. And now it's gone. Man. But, I don't know. You got to read. There's a really good story in The Atlantic over the weekend on this. Guy laments the fact that the C button is gone. It's not totally gone. You still have a backspace to clear. But I love having that clear and all clear with a calculator. That's what I'm used to. But now the back button changes to all clear. It's still the same functionality, but it's different. And, you know, sometimes you just got to complain about change in math. The cool thing with the calculator on the iPhone, though, on the bottom, you can convert convert your money however you want. So there's so much you can still do with the iPhone calculator. Next up, Giannis powering Milwaukee forward as always. Today, the Bucks are debuting all the new menu items for the upcoming season. We're going to bring you more detail on that later in the week and the prices. But even more importantly, in off-the-court news, Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo and the CEO of GE Healthcare are granting $1 million to 10 Milwaukee area nonprofits that address major social detriments of health to drive meaningful and measurable change in our city. Powering Milwaukee Forward is the name of the new initiative. Giannis and the CEO from GE Healthcare had a great editorial in this weekend's JS Online edition. Check it out for sure. Kudos to Giannis and GE Healthcare for moving Milwaukee forward. Also, Tracks of Kindness throughout the entire downtown area from the Bucks and some of their partners will tip off the season. And the flags are back up along the river, which I love to see. The Bucks and Milwaukee downtown teamed up to put flags all across select bridges to highlight the beginning of the Bucks season this week. All right, when we come back, we're going to hoop it up with Dave Spano. We'll keep the basketball theme a little bit going. Mark Cuban, still one of the hosts of Shark Tank. Dave Spano and I, we'll talk a little Shark Tank. This is The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank.
The work week is here. Let's begin with your Monday market preview with Jeff Sherman and Dave Spano.
Welcome back to The Upswing, joined as always on Mondays by Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. Dave, happy Monday.
Thanks for having me. Beautiful day.
Of course, of course. So do you watch Shark Tank?
I do.
Yeah?
I do. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the new season debuted this last Friday. Mark Cuban obviously was in Wisconsin last week for campaign stops with the vice president. And even though he's stepping down from Shark Tank after this season, it's his baby. And I think it's really helped, I don't know, from a success, an opportunity, a failure standpoint, it's helped push financial education forward. You know, kids and families love the show, and they've really taken to it. But over the weekend, New York Times had an analysis of the show through the years and kind of how the economy has changed. So I wanted to get your insights, Dave. As you look at the economy over the last 15 years, kind of through an entrepreneurial lens, what has changed?
Well, there's so much that has changed. You think about when that show started. We just think about the last 15 years. You know, 2009 was 15 years ago. That was coming right out of the great financial crisis. I mean, the global financial crisis. It was a debacle. I remember going to the studio at TMJ on Saturday mornings and doing the show, and every Saturday morning we'd have to announce which one of these banks had failed on a Saturday morning, because they would close them on Friday night. It was not fun. You had this cascading failure of financial institutions, and so that has changed, right? And so you now have business applications starting to increase as we get into 2015 and 2016, and then of course we had COVID, and then there was a spike in job opportunities, and I think that's what you get. You're trying to tie it to what's happening with Shark Tank. Is there's a lot of job applications. I'm sorry, a lot of business applications starting to come out. But look at the numbers over the last 15 years. You think about, you know, what's happening with GDP. I mean, almost the last three presidents now have had positive GDP. And so that's really a good thing. Employment is up. You know, the prices are up substantially. Obviously, that's not a good thing.
Right.
But the stock market, are you ready for this? Up 600% over the last 15 years if you include dividends. So a lot of really good things have happened in the economy despite a major downturn of the global financial crisis and, of course, COVID in 2020.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that the show in its own way has helped highlight those successes, but also showing, like, hey, in life, to make money, you got to work hard and you got to believe in yourself. But at the same time, even after you may get the win on Shark Tank, the reality is, and this was really interesting in the story, that only 50% of those deals that are done on the show actually turn to reality after all the negotiation and due diligence.
Yeah, there's some show, but you just nailed it. So you think about that. That's exactly right. When you try to do a deal, you know, and we've done them, we've been involved with them, and somebody wants to sell their company or a portion of their company, you have to make sure you're aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have these conversations, and you learn about their families and their kids and their three-legged dog Willie, and you know, you've got to learn all about the folks and make sure you're aligned. And so even though you see some of the stuff on Shark Tank, and it's good television,
yeah,
the important part of buying and funding and growing a business really comes down to that due diligence and analysis and making sure you have synergies and alignment. I mean, that's really the deal. But I think it's good. I think it shows people, you know, how to make an elevator pitch on television to some high-powered people. You know, you see, by the way, speaking of high-powered, you see Cuban, you know, he sold his interests in the Mavs,
yeah,
billions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
And I was interested to see that, you know, he's mid-60s. He's older than he looks.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's certainly been a success story.
Yeah, he has a very youthful spirit to him, but he's older than he looks, for sure. And an interesting thing about Friday, too, there was a Milwaukee connection. One of the, right, there was a graduate from Divine Savior Holy Angels who's now based in Miami, but one of her companies, Little Saints, they sell kind of an NA cocktail, a sophisticated sugar-free alcohol RTD cocktail powered by mushrooms. Didn't get the deal done, but got a lot of publicity and exposure off the show, for sure.
And there's been others. I mean, there was some kids from Marquette High School years ago, the Fox family, and what they did is they made a life preserver that you would yank on and it would inflate. So there's been Milwaukee connections before, but it's good to see. And really what's cool about it, and I've been involved with some of these things, is colleges and high schools have these Shark Tank themed classes.
Yeah.
And so you can discuss entrepreneurship and know you've got to put a business plan together and put some economics together. So I think it's good all the way around.
All right. Very good. When we come back, the election, obviously only 3 weeks away. So
two
we're going to talk
2 weeks.
2 weeks away. Yes. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit about what certain industry sectors and even certain companies might benefit from either administration. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. Dave, there are, you know, without a doubt, certain industry sectors and even specific companies that stand to benefit from either administration, depending on the outcome of the election. What are your thoughts there? And then is there an industry that, regardless of who wins, wins?
Yeah, that's really good. You know, just 2 weeks away from the election, and you know, as we had said, the market rallies during presidential elections, and true to form, you know, up 24% year to date. But what's really interesting is when you open up the hood and start seeing what's doing well and what aren't doing well. I mean, the difference between these two politicians is you know, dramatic. And so you start to say what's going to do well or what isn't going to do well. So let's just talk about energy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the stances on green energy versus traditional energy, for example. You think about, for example, healthcare. You know, Harris likes to push more for universal coverage and regulation, where Trump is probably, you know, hasn't had a concept of a plan, but
right.
He's disclosed that technology, you know, both are going to do well, but there's no question that that the con at the FTC is going to be supported far more by Harris than by Trump. Industrials, consumer discretionary, both will act differently, and they are acting differently right now, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at them, and you know, if you're on the red team, your stocks are starting to rally here, and if you're on the blue team, they're starting not to act so well, as we're just 2 weeks out. So you know, obviously, we need to watch that very closely. But your question of what does well,
yeah.
I think infrastructure will do well either way.
Yeah.
And I meant to say this to you too. What's surprising to me is I saw the defense stocks starting to come back. Usually, if the Republicans are winning, the defense companies are doing better. Over the last year, defense companies are doing better when the Democrats. So there's such a change of flip-flop in so many issues. But to answer your question, I think infrastructure would do well no matter what.
Yeah, and obviously part of AI. Yeah, of course.
AI,
yeah,
right.
Both power the economy forward. But obviously part of infrastructure is also the home building sector. And I think both Harris and Trump have talked a lot about increasing the number of new homes and different incentives for first-time home buyers. So I think that's one segment to keep an eye on that everyone can rally around no matter what. So
yeah,
let's put Dave Spano on the board of CVS. What's your advice?
Does Dave Spano have to be on the board of CVS?
Well, you don't have to be, but you know, let's just say. So what's your advice for the future? You look at what's happening at Walgreens and CVS and the kind of the new CEO at CVS is saying to workers there, hey, let's really look for creative solutions to our problems.
Yeah.
How do you see CVS evolving in the future?
Well, I think, you know, what they did is they got into a lot of companies. And so in a lot of businesses, they bought a lot of them. They got in the insurance business and everything else. If I was on that board, I would maybe silo some of these businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that are not helping out our companies, our CVS company, and being complementary to it, I'd get rid of those companies if I was on the board. So I would go through and say, you know, what are they? Are they helping us? Are they hurting us? What's doing well? What isn't doing well? And try to silo these things. And sometimes we've seen this before. Companies get over their skis. They think they can do, you know, they were really good at some business, and they start buying other businesses, and then, of course, the other business either drags them down, right? So that's what I would do. I would go through business by business, think about, you know, what they did, and are they maintaining a position as a healthcare company or as you know, a distribution of drug companies. Let's look at that and see what's working and what isn't working.
Yeah, that's good. You know, stay true to kind of what got you there. The new CEO took over last week on Thursday, sent an internal memo to the entire team saying, here's where I need your help. It's no secret that our industry faces significant and dynamic challenges and that CVS Health must make financial and operational improvements to drive elite execution and maintain our position as a leading healthcare company. And that's what you do.
In healthcare company, but you think about, you know, they purchased Aetna, major health insurer, in 2018. They bought, you know, that Minute Clinics. So there's a lot of stuff that isn't working for them that I would reexamine, and stuff that's not working probably should be jettisoned.
Yeah. All right. So what's on the docket this week in terms of numbers and releases? A lot of earnings releases.
You got it right. Yeah. So there's two things. The economic reports is going to be the beige book. And that is, you know, Powell used that beige book because it was a bit dour last time to justify a 50 basis point cut. I don't know that they're going to do that again. It's, you know, highly likely it's 25 basis points. But so that's one economic report. But more importantly, a big week for earnings. You know, tomorrow we get General Motors and Kimberly-Clark and GE and Pulte Homes. Of course, you talked about home builders. They're a big home builder.
Yeah.
And then the week ends with UPS and on Friday, Amazon. And of course, the tech stocks have done so well. We'll see what Amazon does. And the AI trade is still going to work. But here we go, just two weeks to go. And everybody remember that it was 0.4% that determined the vote of all the votes cast in the United States. So your vote matters.
No matter what, get out and vote for sure. Dave, I always appreciate your time on Mondays. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll talk again next Monday.
It sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Welcome back to The Upswing. We are giving away tickets to see the iconic Brit Floyd as they return to the Riverside Theater. One lucky winner is going to get two tickets to the show. Let me give you a little bit of background first. Celebrate 50 years of Wish You Were Here, the album played in full, plus other classic Floyd tracks amongst the stunning production Brit Floyd always brings to the stage. Friday, May 31st, and Saturday, June 1st. At the beautiful Riverside Theater right here in downtown Milwaukee. Celebrate 50 years of Wish You Were Here with Brit Floyd. Tickets are on sale now at PabstTheaterGroup.com. We're going to give away two tickets right now. Caller number 8-855-616-1620. Shine on, you crazy diamond. Let's go. All right. Now that we're in the mood. The mellow marketing mood. Yeah, we can't be mellow. We got to go for it. Greg Marshall is the chief storyteller at CI Design, a Milwaukee-based marketing and strategy company. Always love having Greg's insights, and I appreciate your time coming into the studio this beautiful Monday.
I love being here. Thanks for the invitation.
Of course. So this summer, the city of Milwaukee, a couple of older people, looked at the possibility of a new rule requiring short-term rentals, kind of from an Airbnb standpoint in Milwaukee, be owner-occupied, must be the primary residence in order for it to be listed as Airbnb. This is the same approach used in Madison and a bunch of other communities. And now you kind of look at Airbnb and what it's doing on the national level, Greg. It's doubling down on its brand, because there's more competition from hotels and niche hotels and a lot of other people in the space. What would you look for as an ad strategy for an established company like Airbnb?
Yeah, they're doing the right thing. You can invest a lot of money in performance marketing where you try to put your product in front of the consumer when they're looking for a thing. And that is great. But when you focus on brand awareness like they are right now, in other words, telling inspiring stories about guests, about hosts, What you're doing is you're creating a positioning in the audience's mind so that when they you're already in their head before they open a computer to start searching. Mm-hmm. And there's a sacrifice to that, but and when you look at it from an 18 to 24 month period and then ultimately a 2 to 3 year ROI on the whole thing, then it starts to have massive value. But yeah, they're smart in what they're doing right now. It will help differentiate them.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, they have more competition than ever. Airbnb had this space for a long time, like, whoa, this is unique. Every one of these spaces is unique. I need to be there. And now the hotels are doing the same thing with luxury rooms or different designs or high-end this, subscription models, whatever it is. So how do you counteract that competition?
Well, a lot of the best ideas come from the paradox or the problem in the mix. And when you look at the challenge for Airbnb, it's that they don't just have guests, they have hosts, and they need to recruit both. And that poses a challenge, but it also poses an opportunity. Because if they do a good job telling stories, inspiring not just guests, but hosts with real stories about things that are happening in the homes, then you can turn the hosts into salespeople for you. More hosts talking about more homes means more momentum, and hotels can't do that. I think it's great that Airbnb put pressure on hotels to get better, and there's a response, and that's valuable for everybody. But yeah, they can approach it. They can combat that by taking seriously the two audiences that they have and being all about storytelling and meaningful connections.
That rising tide should lift all boats, and that's the way it should work out. In the first half of this year, the company's sales and marketing spend rose almost $1.08 billion, up almost 14% from the same period over 2023. So they also have a healthy budget to do what they want to do.
Yeah, and it's going to cost more for a couple different reasons. One, they have to create a lot more inspiring content. So I imagine a large portion of that is just going to be going towards making beautiful things. And they'll see probably a dip in some of their performance marketing, like being able to track, okay, this person clicked this and actually rented a spot. That's going to drop for a little while. But over time, yeah, the investment, I believe, is going to be worth it. And you see it with Nike. I read an article recently about their massive dip, which came from being only about measurable things.
Right. They focus totally on e-commerce and on sales, and driving.
Yeah, and it didn't work because the most valuable actions are the hardest ones to measure.
Yeah.
And you can be all about the measure, which I love. I love being able to measure results,
right,
but in the right context.
All right. When we come back, baby boomers and online sales. How do you sell to America's richest generation, the baby boomers, in today's e-commerce world? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Is your shower and or tub space looking like it could use an update? It might be. WTMJ and Sidex have paired together to give your shower or tub conversion a chance, a fighting chance. This is your chance to get a full makeover valued up to $10,000. All you need to do, you take a picture, you text the word creepy and the picture to the WTMJ talking text line at 855-616-1620. Submit your picture and you could win a full conversion from our good friends at Sidex. Full contest rules are at our website at WTMJ.com. Back with Greg Marshall, a Marketing Monday focus. So, Greg, you look at kind of generational research online. When it comes to online marketing, it's mainly focused on the Zoomers and the Millennials. And that makes sense. But when kind of you look at digital transformation, it's all about how do you get the older populations? And it really made me think, how do we best market to baby boomers in an economy that really is all digital, but the baby boomers are still kind of, they're digital, but they're a little bit more old school. How do you tackle the marketing to baby boomers at your company?
Yeah, well, I think it's important to just remind yourself that $70 trillion is available through the boomers, and they are, in fact, more tech savvy than we give them credit for.
Yes.
And, you know, they just look for different things. And yeah. so they want to, they're willing to read a longer explanation. They aren't as influenced by an influencer as they are by, you know, a stamp of certification and years in business and things like that. But yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunities to engage with boomers yeah. in the tech world in ways that, you know, honor them where they're at and what they're actually interested in.
Yeah, and they're also it's a pretty, I don't know if frugal's the right word, but I think it's a value-based generation, and I think you're going to see that coming with holiday marketing too, that it's going to be very, very price-driven. You agree?
Yes, but also, like you said, value-driven, not just monetary, but values. And what the boomer generation values is an active life. They don't want to be spoken to like seniors. It's not about anti-aging. It's about how do I live this adventure that I'm, like, help me live this adventure. And recognizing that boomers are not just going to Facebook to look at pictures of their grandkids. Like yeah. they're engaging, sharing, commenting. Even just the other day, my 80-year-old uncle texted my mom with an LOL. You know, it's not right. it's not quite a laughing face emoji, but
yeah.
they're in that space. And I think it's yes, value monetarily, but also do you see me? Are you talking to me like how I see myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think authentic, informative content wins the marketing game no matter what generation we're talking about.
Yeah, and with boomers, video is killing it, but not the 15-second flashy thing. It's more of like the 2 to 3 minute video that teaches something valuable.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I just think there's, if you just think about how somebody feels about themselves and you create for that person, you're going to have traction.
Yeah. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on what we're going to see in a post-election from a holiday advertising standpoint. Much like our Airbnb conversation, you have the algorithms driving advertising, but you also have meaningful relationships and that type of advertising, but it's still a really crowded marketplace, so brands have to adapt and stay ahead. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Greg Marshall, marketing expert from CI Design. So, Greg, this year, you know, the holiday rush is going to come fast and furious, especially after the election. And I don't think it's all going to be about sales. I think it's going to be about kind of how do brands have that fine line between promotions and what our feed is going to show us, but then really being meaningful in terms of telling their stories to shine in a crowded marketplace. What are you seeing? Are Black Friday and Cyber Monday still going to be the launch points? And is anything going to be different about holiday advertising this year?
Well, regarding Black Friday and Cyber Monday, they're still significant, but the ROI formula is different because there's just so much competition. So a lot of businesses are shifting to focusing on the week before and even after.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still relevant at this point, but I think you're going to see who's desperate and who has spent the time to build relationship with consumers. Because when a business has not spent the time building brand awareness, they become very, very focused on price on every level. And you just see that anxiety come across versus the brands who are kind of chill, bringing more inspiration and attaching it to deals, but not overly anxious about it. So it'll be interesting to see how companies are relating to their audiences.
You think there'll be increased ad fatigue just coming out of election season?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how there isn't without elections. I mean, it's insane how many ads are out. But one thing I thought was interesting was, you know, Meta, obviously costs went up significantly because of elections, but Pinterest and TikTok were more stable, and so and there's less political saturation.
Yeah.
So you like some businesses have been shifting budgets over there, and obviously after the election, that'll shift back. But I think a lot of people are just kind of bracing themselves, like holding on to the table, like what's going on?
Take a deep breath.
What's about to happen with the election? Are we going to deal with another thing after the election because of the election? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, you have some marketing for yourself coming up. You have a one-man show that you're doing with the Pabst Theater Group. Tell us about this a little bit and what inspired you to put it together.
Yeah, well, every day I help companies create a story, help tell their true story, and make it inspiring, make it practically valuable. And those skills come out of love for doing it in general. And this last year, I gave a lot of thought to what do I want to create. I'm helping all these other startups and different types of businesses to launch their story into the world. And I was like, I want to create again. I used to be a performer of music.
Okay.
And I was getting that itch of I just want to create. And when I asked myself, what would I like to do? I realized it's a mix of storytelling and music, and I got interested in this concept of a one-man show and decided to write one. And I felt like when I started to intentionally do it, I realized that I had been doing it for a long time. I just haven't put it down in this way.
Yeah.
So I did a practice run of the performance for like 80 people in my backyard, invited a real diverse spectrum of people to see how it would hit. And it went really, really well. And so now, I'm performing it at Vivarium Theater. Okay. It's part of the Pabst Theater Group.
On
November 18th. Yep. Eastside Farwell. It's a really cool spot. Yeah.
And what do you want people to take away from the show? People buy tickets. They come to Greg's show. They're like, all right. What do you want them to leave with?
It's just going to feel good. It's funny. It's deep. You're going to feel deeply. You're going to laugh. And ultimately, I think you'll walk away being glad that you came because it's inspiring. And I feel like it's sort of soul and imagination cleansing. Like you just kind of walk out feeling good.
All right, very good. That's what we do on The Upswing. Content and community, making people feel good. That's what we're all about.